Well, would you turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4? 1 Timothy chapter 4. As you're turning there, it's actually appropriate that we ask together, what would bring so many thousands of people to the cold center of Indiana during the work week? Most of you have to take off work to show up here this week. Leave your families, leave your places of ministry, so many of you, and come here. What would make that happen? What would bring that about? And as I've thought about what we would talk about tonight, and as I've talked with you, it has struck me that what would cause that to happen is a conversation, a discussion about the most important thing in the whole world, which is how God wants to connect with broken and hurting people through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I am very pleased to be here with you. I'm so thankful for the leadership of Steve and Faith Church and Faith Counseling Ministries to host all of us, and it's just a privilege for me to be here with you. So thank you for allowing me a little bit of time to talk with you tonight about this issue of theology, the foundation of faithful counseling. I want to look at just one verse here together this evening. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. And this is what God's Word says. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be here. So grateful for the opportunity that some of us have just a few times in the year to connect with people that we love and labor with, even though we labor in different contexts and in different locations. We're so thankful to be here to build one another up in the truth, to build one another up in Christ. And Father, I pray that you would help us now, whether we're in this room or a simulcast location or watching on the internet far away. Father, I pray that you would meet us here, that you would bring us together around your word, that you would exalt the mighty name of your precious Son, Jesus, and that you would equip us to be your followers, that you would equip us with the amazing work of counseling others to be your followers. And Father, I pray that you would help me to tell the truth about your word, to tell the truth about your Son, and help all of us together to listen and learn to what you have to say to us even now. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it occurs to me that the most controversial thing that you can say about counseling is that at rock bottom, at the foundation of it, it is a theological discipline. That might seem strange. You think that's the most controversial thing you can say? Is that counseling is, at bottom, a theological discipline? I do. I think that is the most controversial thing that we can say. As I read the debates that counselors have amongst themselves, it seems to me that the fundamental disagreement that biblical counselors have with every other approach to counseling is, how theological is this thing? What informs the discipline of counseling? Most people believe that counseling is fundamentally informed by psychology, by psychiatry. It's what secular people have figured out through scientific research, through their grab bag of worldly wisdom. Most people say, if you want to be a good counselor, if you want to know about counseling, if you want to help people at all, you have to be aware of psychological principles. And then here come these weird, creepy Christians. And they say, you know what? You can help people if you don't know the first thing about psychology. First of all, that's what most people throughout history have had to do, by the way. But you can help people if you understand theology. If you understand the truth of God's word. And every other debate that we get into between biblical counselors and Christian psychologists, or biblical counselors and integrationists, or biblical counselors and transformational psychologists, or biblical counselors and secular psychologists, every other debate that we would get into has to blow by that first debate: how theological is this thing? And so when we talk about the foundation of faithful counseling as being theology, we are saying something that nobody else says, except those people who are committed to the movement we call biblical counseling. And as we talk about theology as the foundation of faithful biblical counseling, I want to look at this one verse with you. We'll branch out and do something a little different in a minute. But I want to start by looking at this one verse, and I want to make four observations with you about this text and counseling ministry. Four observations with you about this text and counseling ministry and the relationship that counseling has with theology. Here's the first observation. When Paul talks about the teaching in 1 Timothy 4:16, he is talking about theology. He's talking about doctrine. We see this in the way he speaks in other places right here in this epistle in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine." The teaching is the doctrine that accords with the faith once for all delivered to the saints. He says the same thing similarly at the end in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. He says, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing." So the teaching is the doctrine. Doctrine, theology, becomes a summary term for the content of the biblical teaching. Wayne Grudem and John Frame share a definition of theology. They say it's what the whole Bible teaches about any topic. So the teaching of the scriptures is what we call theology. This is important because I remember my freshman year of college. I was a Bible major and political science double major. That's a long story. And I was taking New Testament introduction, and I overheard this woman, this other student in a study carrel next to me in the library, as she was studying for the same New Testament test that I was. She said, "Dr. Barclay, all he does is talk about theology. And I don't want theology. I just want the Bible, and I just want Jesus." Well, you get it, right? I mean, what she doesn't understand is theology is the content of what the Bible teaches about Jesus. And so if you care about the Bible, if you care about Jesus, then you must care about theology and doctrine, using Paul's very own expressions here. And so when Paul talks in 1 Timothy 4 about the teaching, he's talking about theology and doctrine. Here's the second observation I want to make. This teaching that Paul discusses is not merely public teaching, but is also the more personal teaching, what today we call counseling. This teaching is not merely public, but it's also the more personal, what we call counseling today. The teaching, that is, when we think of teaching, and we think of a teacher, we think of this. We think of what I'm doing. We think of public preaching, public teaching. Somebody walks in and opens up a text and pulls out their notes and says to the whole room what the Bible says. That's teaching. That's preaching. But that is a very narrow view of what the Apostle Paul understands as teaching. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the Bible says, "Every day in the temple and from house to house, They did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus